Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 148 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin with entertainment talk with the Elon Musk on SNL, potential Marvel character leaving the MCU, and then the Epic versus Apple lawsuit. Then we'll move over into tech news with the big hack on the Colonial Pipeline, some Facebook creepiness, net neutrality, and then some space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
All right, and we're back with episode 148. And this is another interesting one here as we're running into some technical issues. Got back from some travel yesterday. And having issues with my microphone. So I told you last week that was a one-off low quality. I lied to you.
Yeah, some things are out of our control. This didn't pop up till this morning. We have no more time to push this off, this recording off. So here you go. Sorry about it.
So, but let's jump into some of the news. And in our world, I guess in entertainment, one of the bigger topics was Elon Musk on SNL this last week. I know you watched.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy with him signing up with a couple of castmates not agreeing with it. Overall, I thought it was all right. Like, he did a decent job. Like, you know, dude said he's got Asperger's. He's not the most social person. You know, it's hard for him to hit those social cues and punchlines and stuff. And for somebody in that kind of position with that illness, I think he did fine.
Yeah, I didn't watch like every minute of it. Watched enough of it. His monologue and things, and he was as awkward as I expected. SNL was, I guess, as funny as I expected it. I don't know, ever expected to be blown away by an SNL episode these days. So it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was hanging on limbs waiting to see what he did for Dogecoin. And it was kind of funny sitting there. I had my Doge ticker just like on my lap the whole time I'm watching. And it took like a 20-cent jump the minute the show started and then just began to free fall. Just all the way down. Like, it was quite interesting. They did a big Mother's Day skit in the beginning. He had his mom there. And, you know, mentioned Doge, and then they did that weekend update story where I thought that was funny. You know, what is Dogecoin? And then you go through this long explanation. Okay, yeah, I get that. But what is Dogecoin? It was everything I expected. You know, the comedy on SNL lately has been mediocre, to say the best. Anyways, you know, I wasn't expecting this to right the ship, and it wasn't any worse than I thought it was going to be. You know, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, and let's move on to actual entertainment news. This is a story coming out. Dave Bautista has he's really come out and said that he's done with the Drax character. He's been critical over Marvel in the past, and the latest is him tweeting following James Gunn talking about the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 being his last one, and Dave Bautista essentially tweeting saying, "Yep, Drax's last one too. He's done. He's not doing anything."
Well, I mean, you're making it seem kind of like it's his like a disgruntlement with the production or anything. He basically said, "By the time 3 comes out, I'm gonna be in my 50s." He's like, guys, I'm waiting for, he literally said in his tweet, I'm waiting for my entire body to start sagging at any moment. Like
this, yeah, he did follow up with that, but he has had interviews in the past.
He has, you know, but I think that Bautista is such a, he would do it for the fans if he thought his body would hold up. Like, I don't think that he would let disgruntlements with how Disney handled James Gunn in the past and moving forward. I think that could be all water under the bridge if he felt he could do it. Like, just like Hugh Jackman had said flat out, like, I can't be getting this ripped. I can't be doing it anymore, guys. Like, I know you love me as Wolverine. I can't do this shit no more. Batista's at the same point.
It makes sense. What I'm talking about is not that he has, obviously he was very critical. He was one of the people who stood up for James Gunn when all that stuff happened. But even more so, he has complained about the fact that he's done interviews with like Collider and some other when he was doing like the press circuit for other movies. And they've asked him, and he talked about the fact that he really thinks that Marvel like blew the Drax character, that the whole Drax character has a really interesting backstory that Marvel just didn't.
Oh, for sure. He used him as comedy relief, and he's actually a really good character.
He said he understands, you know, the direction that Marvel and the focus that Marvel had wasn't Drax, but he always felt that there was just so much left on the table for his character that he became this comic relief shtick instead of being a badass character. He's like, my name is Drax the Destroyer. And he's like, I don't destroy anything. He's like, I get my ass kicked more than any Marvel character that exists. He's like, really, I became this punching bag and comic relief instead of the character that the comics and what I signed up to do. He's like, now I've done, you know, four movies and my story's never being told. And he's like, I just feel like there was a lot left. And you know, I think there's a bit of that too in the background here.
I mean, I could see that. You know, I don't know. I think he would put that all aside just because of how many people love Drax in the fandom that's associated with it. If they came with a decent story and he could physically perform the character still, I don't see him like just throwing a tantrum and walking off, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. And same as I could see them throwing enough money at him to come into another little bit into a future MCU movie.
Yeah, but he isn't lying, though. Drax has got some really good storylines in the comics, and he's a really interesting character, and they really didn't do shit with his character at all. Like, they kind of set it up in the first movie, but everybody loved the comedy of the first movie that they didn't double down on the second one. They tripled down on that shit in the second movie. So like I could see his point, you know. I just, complaining isn't the same as like making a standoff. And I, you know, he may have some complaints, but I just don't feel that huge animosity towards Marvel. Like, you could be critical and still go to work. Like, I think we've all been there, man.
Yeah, that's true. Fair. All right. Well, we can move on from Drax the Destroyer here. And let's talk a little bit of video game news and give an update. We've talked in the past regarding the Epic versus Apple lawsuits and the negotiations that took place there. And a quick recap is, you know, Epic is suing Apple for monopolistic behaviors for their app store, and the way in which that they require all transactions and all game updates and all game sales to be done through exclusively the app store. And this followed when Epic made an update that they knew was gonna get them in trouble with Apple, where they gave a discount to bypass the Apple payment system and have people buy their V-Bucks directly through Epic, which violated the terms of service of Apple. And Apple has banned Fortnite since. And that triggered an immediate lawsuit. Now we're getting closer into the lawsuit. The lawsuit is expected to take place over the next three weeks. And there's going to have some big ramifications on the outcome of this lawsuit.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the information that's coming out of this lawsuit. It doesn't really seem relative to their case, right? Like, we're getting news about negotiations with Netflix and Facebook and all these other companies. Like, how is this related to their beef with Epic? And, you know, like, I don't know if this is going to be a net win for Apple, even if they do win, with the amount of information that is now leaking from this case.
Well, and that's, I guess, Epic has come out and said, and you know, you can be skeptical all you want, but Epic has said that this lawsuit is not about a monetary gain. They're actually not trying to sue Apple for any money. What they're just trying to do is break up Apple as a monopoly and Google to some degree. The reason why the lawsuit doesn't stick so well with Google is you can technically sideload apps. There are other app stores, even though they suck and they have limited support, but Apple truly only has one way for you to load and download apps, and it's through their app store, which they take a 30% kick of any sales or anything that takes place through there. So, you know, they're really fighting to just free it up. And they say that they're doing it as just a future, as these things continue to develop, that they want to get away from this, you know, strong kind of tether that Apple has on the entire app industry and game industry.
Yeah. And, you know, they got a point, you know what I mean? The Apple holds the keys to the, you know, to the promised land for all these app developers. If you want to make money on the most popular phone device, then you got to fall in line. And, you know, that some people may agree with that Apple, they're their own company. They get to decide who and what and how everything works. You know, there are other sides that, you know, it's, yes, these are private companies and things like that. But at the same time, we have to recognize, like, how important these tools are to our society. You know what I mean? You can't just say it's a private company. They can do what they want. Yeah, they are a private company, but you can't, like, it's really weird because you have options. You can go to another phone, but if you hate Samsung, if you hate, like, it's a weird kind of like gray area in the monopoly. You know, if you don't like the way Apple goes, then fuck it, go get a Nokia, get something else, you know. But if you like your Apple products and you want them to be looser with their app store and give more freedom to developers and things like that, then, you know, how do you go about that? Like, I don't, yeah, this is sticky.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason why you talk about like Microsoft and Netflix and all these other people, you know, coming out is because that's what Epic is, you know, fighting for, is this monopolistic behavior. And we see, you know, being pulled into this are email exchanges and stuff with Netflix, with Microsoft, showing that Apple has negotiated with these other, like, you know, major companies in the past. And even in the way that they negotiate with other major tech sector companies, it's still with a like dominant, hey, well, yeah, you know, you have no choice but to use a situation.
Yeah. Like, how would you like it if a Netflix documentary came out on the production of Apple products and the slave labor and everything that they use, and Netflix bought that documentary? Well, then Apple comes out and says, well, if you air that fucking documentary, we're pulling Netflix off the fucking app store. Like, should they have that freedom? You know, like, that's, I mean, that's a real question. That's what this trial is addressing. Like, where do you draw the line on a company being able to represent their brand, or a company just being a totalitarian dictator over their platform?
Yeah. And, you know, in like an email exchange with the Microsoft team, and Microsoft is trying to bring Office to Apple, to Mac and to iPads and iPhones. And Apple flat out in an email told Microsoft, as Microsoft was trying to negotiate a way to send people to the Microsoft website to buy the programs. And Apple responded saying, hey, we run the store and we collect the revenue. Like, this is the only way. You will only allow payments through us and we will get our piece of it. Which is, you know, that's the whole issue with Epic. Facebook had similar issues where Facebook was trying to institute instant messaging games that people can just, through their messenger service, join a game and play games with each other through instant messenger. And those instant games were essentially denied by Apple because Apple didn't have a process in there to collect revenue through it. Because essentially the payments and any games you purchased or whatever else were going to go through Messenger and pay directly Facebook instead of through the App Store. So they killed that update to Messenger as well.
Yeah, I like, this is like the really weird part about capitalism. Like, they do have a duty to their shareholders to maximize profits and bring in revenue. But at the same time, this is a $1 trillion company. It's like, man, do you really need all the monies? Like, and it's like, how can you feel bad for Facebook? You know, Facebook is the other giant fucking titan raking in fucking money, scraping our data and shit. How do you feel bad for Facebook? The only person you can feel bad for is the goddamn consumer that is just left out of the party. And it's like, hey, I want instant messaging games. It's like, shut up, kid. We're fucking talking about money here.
The people you feel bad about is the ones in like pandemic that just wanted to play like chess with grandma. You know what I'm saying? Instant messenger, like, because that's all grandma knows how to use. Yeah. And they couldn't pull it off.
You know, they had to shut down Words with Friends because of some fucking monetary dispute. You know, like, it's like, come on, guys. Like, you guys are both fucking giant multi-billion, trillion-dollar companies, and you're fighting over essentially what is, like, peanuts to your bottom line. Like, it's hard to feel bad for anybody in this situation, and really, you hope that what comes out of it is just best for the consumer, consumer choices.
Well, and that's who I think what Epic's trying to do. Epic's just trying to, you know, yes, it would help them, but it would help the game industry and help a lot of industry in general. If Apple was a little reined in from their power, and then that whatever comes about with the Apple one would also kind of translate to the Google Play Store and anybody else's ability to just, you know, pretty much make the devices and then monopolize everything coming through it and get their cut of everything coming through it.
Which is kind of messed up because, you know, like, you have these developers that spend years making this game, funnel all kinds of money, take in all kinds of investors, do all this shit. And then just to even try to get their money back, you have a company being like, you got to give us 30%. Like, you did this great thing. Cool. Good for you. Now we want our 30%. It's like mafia tactics almost. Like, it'd be a shame if something happened to your game. like, holy fuck, man.
Yeah, well, I think we covered this topic well enough here. Let's move out of entertainment. Let's jump into really the biggest story in tech this last week. Was a major hack from a group called DarkSide hacking the Colonial Pipeline, which shut down oil to, it's like 45% of the East Coast. 50 million Americans are supported by the Colonial Pipeline that spans from, you know, from Houston to northern New Jersey. And it got shut down due to a ransomware hack coming from this company, DarkSide.
Yeah, and it's fucked up because people still got pandemic mindset. So you see people loading up pickup trucks worth of gas cans and just hoarding gasoline now. Like, it's not, you're not helping the situation, folks. Like, you're exacerbating the situation. Like, you think you're doing what's good. You know, you're only like, and I just laugh because I look at it and like, this problem will get solved. We'll get through it. You know, and then what are you just, you're just gonna be sitting on 30 fucking tanks of gas? Like,
yeah,
you know, like, it just reminds me, it just makes me think of all the people during the shutdown that just had like a closet full of toilet paper, you know, and it's like, man, did you really need to do that? Were you really that fearful of not being able to wipe your ass?
Yeah. And it's, you know, how are you gonna look at your neighbors when this thing's over? You look at your neighbors and you've got your 25 gas cans in your backyard.
Yeah.
If I was the neighbor, I'm calling the cops on you. I'm sure that's illegal.
I'm flicking a cigarette at your garage, you dummy. You pieces of shit. What the fuck?
But ultimately, this hack coming from DarkSide, and, you know, DarkSide isn't necessarily attributed to the Kremlin, to the Russian government.
Yeah,
there.
Okay.
Although they are pretty well known to operate out of Russia, as well as, like, historically, the countries that they attack are Western in nature,
yeah,
not of the Balkan states.
They may not be working for Putin directly, but let's not act like Putin's out there sending cops after anybody either. I think it's one of those touch of the nose situations. Like, hey, I see you. Yeah. I see you over there.
So, but this DarkSide hack is an interesting group because it really doesn't, DarkSide itself doesn't go out there and perpetrate the actual hacks or affect people. Like, they are largely a software company, if you want to look at it that way. It's an incredibly sophisticated system where DarkSide sells the ransomware to other partner organizations that want to go out there and collect a ransom from a company. They sell the software. They also even have like a customer service line and everything else. They have different packages you can buy. Like, this is not a, like, no,
it's
no
like
joke.
The Chinese video game hackers, but for it, everything.
Very much. To where, like, they can sell you the software. They have a customer service line to help people who are paying ransom to help them if they're having issues unlocking their encryption keys. They have their own kind of like code of ethics in terms of service and who they're supposed to attack. Since this hack came out, they've made a public statement, DarkSide, the organization did, saying that they are not into geopolitics. This is not a political play. This was not designed to affect the citizenry of the United States, that they're out to make money. And in doing so, they target major companies, and this company can pay the ransom, and then it's over.
I find it coincidental, though, that it all goes down in the first year of an administration that held 2 years worth of Russian hacking hearings. Like, it could be coincidence, could not be. Like, I don't know. Like, it's if they're selling this ransomware and they have like an online store, how does like the CIA not just pose as a hacker group to buy this tech and deconstruct it, analyze the code, figure out like how do we not have systems in place in an entity specifically to thwart these things? Like, we are so behind as a nation on this kind of defense that it's actually really scary. Cause just imagine, this is one thing we do these hacker stories all the time. Imagine if all these hacks went down on the same day, what it would do to our infrastructure and our nation.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, this is one that should alarm people, because if just a group that is out to get money sells software to some other group out to get money, and they inadvertently cripple a piece of infrastructure to the entire East Coast, like, yeah, what would people who actually are targeting infrastructure with the idea to actually cripple, kind of the U.S. economy, cripple our industrial capacity, our power grid, like, what are the people who are actually seeking out that actual effect able to do? You've got to assume that there's a way.
Right. Oh, you know, there's a boardroom of Chinese military people right now looking at this going, oh, really? Like, you know they are. Like, yeah, go ahead, cancel me. I made a joke.
Yeah, I think, again, this is a huge story. Yes, because of the oil. Yes, because of, the Florida man out there running around with gas can strapped to his back, all of that stuff is a big deal. But yeah, more so lurking in the background is the fact that this truly needs to be figured out, as far as how do we prevent this in the future? How do we actually invest in our companies becoming more robust? Because the problem is a lot of our public infrastructure like this is held by private companies, supplied by private companies. And how do we force private companies to shore up their security to the same standards of what the government systems would be?
And stuff, I'm not like worried about it. We elected an octogenarian. Like, it's gonna solve it. Like, they're probably for sure on this, right? Like, we keep electing our fucking grandfathers into office, and I'm sure they give a fuck about all this.
Yeah. Well, hopefully his grandkids are talking to him about it. I don't know. Either way, that's the bigger concern here. And that is something that really we do have to figure out, is how do we force or how do we assist these corporate entities to increasing their security footprint?
We have safety laws. Like, cars can't be built unless they meet certain safety regulations. Like, you have FDA, we have entire entities designed to protect consumers and protect an industry from itself oftentimes, but we don't really have a division of that in our government at all for tech when it comes to making sure that companies have a certain level of encryption, making sure companies have a certain level of firewalls and protections. Like, we have no entity for that whatsoever. That just, why don't we have 100 eggheads in a room paid by our government to just attempt to hack every American company? And if we get it, you don't publicize it. You send out a fucking email. You go to their office. The government entity sits in their office and says, hey, y'all, we could have fucked y'all shit up. Suck it up. Tighten up. Here's what you guys need to do. You have 30 days to comply.
Yeah, it would be It would be an improvement if it's not already something happening.
Why am I the moron that has this idea? You know what I mean? Like, I consider myself an intelligent human, but there is no way possible that I just came up with this fucking idea and plan. What is stopping something like that from going through and happening? Because somebody had that idea. Somebody important said the same thing I just said, and that at some point they hit a wall. What is that wall? How do we knock that wall down?
Yeah, unsure. But let's see. We'll find out more about this. You know, the pipeline still isn't operating back at normal capacity. And I'm sure we will hear more about this. Same as, you know, it took a while for like the SolarWinds hack to really unravel. This one will be very much in the same vein. So we'll give updates here as it comes out. But let's move on to a little tech story with Facebook ads, and this one's just a quick story, but just because it's interesting.
This is so creepy, though.
And Signal, Signal being the nonprofit company that is competing with like WhatsApp or whatever else for an encrypted messaging service. Although, again, they're not a corporate entity; they're a nonprofit just trying to bring privacy to people. In promoting their app, they took out some Facebook ads. And the Facebook ads they did were just like generic text in blocks. And then the text would get updated based off of which category. So they just took out a bunch of ads looking for very specific criteria, like one being, you know, people who received an ad in their feed that said, you got this ad because you're a teacher. But more importantly, you're a Leo and single and that you're in Moscow and whatever else. So like they bought these ads with very specific criteria and then put it transparently in the ad, what criteria they put into the thing just to show people that like, no, I could find you specifically through ad mechanisms, through whatever I want.
Which is a really good tactic to bring to light this kind of like targeting. Like you think that like it's general, you know, like, oh, they're just looking at females between the ages of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah that live in this area and dot. And it's like, no, man, they put in like goth twink and like, like they put in all kinds of like uber crazy specifics, you know what I mean? And like they were able to find these people and target them. Like that is really like eye opening because I think a lot of people think it's just the general, you know, when you used to get the Nielsen's demographics, oh, the males between 18 and 35, like this big general. And it's like, no, we're looking at hairy males between that are 18 and a half years old. Like they're narrowing it down to most finite, you know, specifications now it's getting really fucking creepy.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. In the end, Facebook took this down, and blocked the ads. Didn't allow them to last very long. But it lasted long enough for a few screenshots and to show that what Signal was trying to do, get idiots like us to talk about it and just demonstrate that, yeah, it's really very specific, very interesting as far as the amount of information that they can. And if advertising companies were transparent about how they targeted you, those would be the kind of characteristics you would see, not just basic demographics.
Well, and it's already getting absurd because I know that, you know, when I sit in my living room and I have a conversation with my girlfriend and, you know, we might just be talking about a subject that we saw in a TV show, but we know if we say a certain something, you know, more than 5-6 times, the next time you open Instagram or Facebook, there's that ad. And you're just like, man, can't I just have a conversation without you trying to sell me something relative to that fucking conversation? Like, not everything I talk about is me wanting to be a consumer. Like, back up off it. Back up off me. I know where to find the goods if I need to buy it. I will buy it when I want it.
Not true. That's they're definitely predicting your behavior. And obviously, it works. So I don't see it changing anytime soon, but I appreciate Signal trying to increase transparency here. All right, let's keep moving here. And we've got another story on kind of net neutrality. We haven't talked about net neutrality in a long time, but this one coming out this week, really interesting in the fact that the internet service providers apparently paid for 8.5 million fake FCC comments opposing net neutrality. So originally when net neutrality was being considered, The FCC opened up a website for people to register and then to make comments in support for maintaining net neutrality or repealing it. And I guess 8.5 million of them were fake comments created by these internet service providers against net neutrality.
Yeah, Comcast hired Fiverr to just comment the fuck out of the FCC. Like, I don't understand how, like, this should be illegal. Like, this 100% should be fucking illegal. Because we are, you know, a government entity is looking for feedback from the American people. You know, they have unlimited, well, you know, basically unlimited funds to be able to do shit like this. To whereas I wrote a comment, I'm pretty sure you wrote in something for net neutrality. I know a handful of people clicked the link to go comment on there. You know, that's 15 of us, you know, 20 of us. Like, and then you have a company like Comcast and AT&T just paying God only knows what to put up 8.5 million fucking comments opposing you. Like,
and supposedly, like, some, like, ridiculous amount, like almost 4 million came from like one 19-year-old kid who programmed some way to do it. And then a vast majority of them, it came from, but it's not like you could just bot this thing out so easily. Like, they had to go and find like actual names of U.S. citizens, and they put in like registered accounts under, you know, first and last names of regular people.
But what we know about hacking is you get that list of names for $50 on the dark web. Like, we know that.
Yeah, it's
like,
not hard.
Like, we know that.
I mean, if all you need is first and last names, you're getting that for free off of some public database.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ultimately, you know, it's crazy that they went this way as far as doing this. And Broadband for America was the group or the company that, I guess, hired this out. But within that group is Comcast, Charter, AT&T, Cox. They all belong to this ultimate group. So it's not like AT&T, you know, somewhere on their balance sheet is the Fiverr receipt.
Yeah.
But it's Broadband for America, which they are all a part of. And yeah, the New York Attorney General is the one, I think, who brought against these charges and has been doing this investigation since 2017. So, you know, it is illegal. Who knows whether they're going to be able to make this stick, you know, in the end, you know, net neutrality repealed, even at the time when it was repealed back in 2017, it was known that 98.5% of the genuine comments, like, it was known back then that most of the comments were fake. And if you strip away all the fake comments, there were only like 4 million real comments about net neutrality, and 98% of them were against repealing net neutrality. So, like, even at the time in 2017, they knew that the vast majority of people who, like, real people who went out and made comments were against it. It made no difference.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you see corporations doing things like this, it's not in the best interest of the American public. You know, they do it with, you know, my brain instantly goes to like big pharma and alcohol with marijuana. They were just donating millions upon millions and millions of dollars into ads and in negative campaigns. Like, when you have corporations actively trying to thwart American legislature, like, we really need to look at how our government functions for its people. Like, I understand, like, a lot of people have that mindset of corporations are people and money is speech and all this shit. Fuck you. I don't know how else to put it. Like, fuck you. No, they're not. Like this, you know, we can't have these powerful entities having that much sway over a government that oversees the lives of 350 million fucking people.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a clear demonstration of like how disproportionate the power structure is. you know, if these companies want to flood, you know, like, truly like governmental regulation influence, they have the means to do so. And there's actually very little recourse, even if it's done in a shady manner like this one. You know, 8.5 million fake FCC comments from the ISPs, 18.5 million overall. Who the hell knows where the other ones came from? The other 10 million fake comments came from. And in the end, like, actual citizens who gave a shit about net neutrality, 4 million out of 300. Yeah. And, yeah,
well, we do have to look at ourselves, point the finger back at ourselves a little bit too, because we are a nation that will come out in droves to do some online poll to name a boat Bodie McBoaterson, but we can't get enough motherfuckers to come by and take on these corporations for our own best interests. You know, like, you put any online poll to name a new school or name a bridge, and you get millions of trolls out there ready to just, you know, rape that name on just for the sake of lulls, and then you get something really important like this, and you know, we can't even match what a corporation can pay for. It's such a fucked up like way to run this society. There's no winners here.
All right, well, let's move on to another area that we're losing at. I don't know if this is necessarily losing, but in the crypto world, for our crypto nerds, we this last week had a court order against Kraken, which is, you know, a pretty popular crypto exchange, that they have to start providing information on user transactions to the IRS. This court order specifically only highlights people who have traded more than $20,000 over the last couple of years, 2017, I think, to 2020. But ultimately, you know, the IRS is just trying to get the information out of, you know, the crypto wallets, the exchanges, look at profits and be able to get their tax hit.
Yeah, they got to pay for them stimmy checks.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I don't know how I feel about this, in the sense that I guess that, you know, like, if we're truly going to look at it as like an investment vehicle, a lot, you know, most of this is not about currency. It's about a speculative play. But even anything you invest in, there's capital gains, there's profit to be made.
You make income, the government wants a cut. Yeah, you make income, government wants its cut.
I guess fundamentally, I'm not against this.
I'll pay my
cut of taxes on any crypto I make. If I make $1 million on crypto, I'll gladly pay my share.
In principle, though, I just find it fucked up that a country that was founded on being against taxes and overtaxing, like that's literally the basis of this country. Like, literally the basis of this country was about taxation without representation, that we now 200 some years later live in a society where you cannot exchange monetary anything without the government taking its cut. I can't make money without them taking it. I can't buy something without them taking it. I can't invest something without them taking it. Like, anytime you pull a dollar out of your pocket or put one in, it has been taxed in some way. Like, just that foundation alone doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth. But if that's where we're going to be at, then yeah, your crypto, like, pay the piper, motherfucker, pay it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's, I guess we are represented, though, at this point in time. And our representatives keep taxing us.
You know,
I mean,
you know, like, because essentially, if they didn't do this, you have already companies like Tesla putting in, you know, $50 million into Bitcoin. You know, like, essentially, then this becomes another way for corporations to avoid to do tax avoidance. You know, like, if you don't follow these things up, and, you know, like, but I just know it's going to be the, you know, the big corporations and the ballers, they're going to get out of this. All right. It's going to be that crypto bro, that, you know, that early Dogecoin investor that cashed out 50 G's that just thought he had a good day
and spent every cent of it. Yeah. And he's about to get a 20 grand hit.
Yep.
In capital gains.
Yep. Yeah. And he's going to be fucked. Like, that's what I know is going to happen. And, you know, it's hard to feel sorry for the crypto bro, because you should have seen it. Like, you are a part of society. You know how these things work. Let's not make excuses for yourself. But at the same time, we also live in a society where Apple pays no taxes, Netflix pays no taxes. So it's kind of feels unfair to the crypto bro. Like,
still, he's about to get punched in the face.
Yep.
The crypto millionaire, that Dogecoin millionaire.
You better put up them diamond hands, motherfucker. Protect yourself.
All right, let's keep moving. Let's move out into our last little segments here for for some space news. And start with Blue Origin. We talked about Blue Origin last week, that at the time of our show coming out last week, you should have been able to purchase a ticket on Blue Origin's little space tourism flight into orbit.
Yeah, we were wrong.
Yeah, everybody was wrong because instead of it just being a ticket to purchase, nope, that price is fluctuating, and it became an auction.
Yep.
to get a ticket onto Blue Origin.
I mean,
well done.
You can't blame them. You really can't. Like, oh shit, there's a lot of people that want that seat. All right, taking bids. Now it's going to be interesting who gets the bid. Now it's going to be a big story, who wins the auction, and there's going to be a whole backstory on whoever wins it. Like, now if you get this seat, it's more likely going to be some eccentric dude. Because I think before, if there was some anonymity to it, there's mad people that would just bought a space seat and gone up. But now if you win this seat, you are on the cover of a bunch of websites and blogs. People are going to be asking about who the fuck you are and what you're doing. So I think that limits a lot of people who are even going to auction on this thing now. And then, yeah, whoever wins it is going to be some Russian billionaire's son, some Jake Paul fucking Instagrammer. like I don't fucking know, man, but it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, so I guess the sealed bids are going on until May 19th, and then it goes to an online bid where all online bids have to exceed the sealed bids, and then on June 12th the bidding will end. So really dragging this thing out. really going for a couple million per seat.
Well, and what's going to stop people from making absurd sealed bids, knowing that they're going to have a secondary one,
hoping that somebody would be.
Yeah.
You don't want that absurd sealed bid to stick.
Wait, yeah, you going to come after me, Bezos, because I hacked your sealed bid.
It's going to cancel your Prime account. Yeah. But either way, we'll find out maybe in mid-June who the hell is actually going to get these seats. And then last two stories here, we've got finally SpaceX Starship. They get one that doesn't blow up.
Boom or non-boom.
No boom. Yeah. So they finally get a Starship to fly up. I didn't see the total altitude of this one, but it's in the same realm as the last ones. And then to have a controlled fall, flip itself upright, land on the spot that it was designed to land at, and not explode. So huge success for Elon. You know, same time frame he's doing SNL or whatever else this guy's hitting on all cylinders here.
It's multitasking.
I think I read an article or saw a headline today that they're prepping to relaunch this second one again. So they're going to probably just keep testing it until it explodes. Because why not?
And that's what I was going to say. What's protocol here? How many do you have to land in a row that don't blow up before you put a person in it? What's protocol here? This is information I'd like to know.
Well, they're going to go for number two at least. Let's see how quickly they can turn this around. I think they're looking at a launch in the next couple weeks. Or probably, in a week or two, to just set this thing back up in space, or not in space, but in flight. I think they're not flying quite to orbit yet, but they're flying 6 miles or so above Earth. So it's an interesting kind of continued test that they have here. I'm waiting for when they truly prove this and get this thing ready to go to moon.
Yeah, it's getting closer. So congratulations to SpaceX. It's going to be interesting. This is going to get really, really interesting, really fast now that they're producing.
All right. And then the last story, which is, was an interesting one. We were following it all week, and there was some debris from an out of control Chinese rocket, crashing back to Earth. And this had everybody paying attention to it on where was this thing going to land. Nobody could really predict it, which was wild to me that for a while nobody was really coming down and saying okay, this is going to land safely in the ocean or whatever else. We've got all these different space agencies and everything else to not be able to predict it, but I guess that just goes to show how unpredictable this one was and how out of control. And ultimately the Chinese are sending up a lot of these rockets. They plan to send up a lot of these rockets as they're building a new space station. They're sending a lot of these heavy rockets up. I think it's like 22 tons of space junk was falling from this one. And ultimately, the Chinese just didn't put in the right systems to control this in descent, resulted in it tumbling its way back through orbit. People were able to track it. You could like see it in the sky.
They had a website for it.
As it was nearing. And then ultimately it did land safely in, you know, what was the higher probability case, which would be 70% of the world is water, and it lands in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, though. It could have just as easily landed on somebody's dome. Like, and where does that put us as a nation? Where does that put us? Does China just say, oh, so sorry, like, can't do nothing, but like, shit fell from the sky, our bad. Like, do you have any legal ramifications? Is it an act of war? Is it
no, the answer is there are no ramifications right now, which is why like the UN, the UN does have a space type program that oversees space agencies that set standards. And right now the UN is looking at making a resolution that says that any company from any country that is launching anything in space, in order to get approval, you have to have a planned controlled ascent.
Well, I think there, like, if there's not, there needs to be some liability verbiage that every nation agrees to. Like, look, if you do crash land on this shit, you're gonna have to pay for, like, you're gonna have to own up and you're gonna have to do this. Like, it can't go to some international court. It can't go, you know what I mean? Like, like some family gets devastated because a goddamn rocket landed on their fucking dad while he was out farming. You know, we can't have this shit tied up in a decade's worth of international legislation and litigation. Like,
yeah, I think, like I said, the UN is looking at this now on how to regulate away. And, you know, in the end, the UN doesn't have much power, but just by a collective agreement from the international body saying, hey, if you're going to launch things in space, you have to have a certain standard of reentry. You have to have a certain standard of planning and control through reentry. Then at least maybe, as again, China plans on launching up more than a dozen of these rocket types, and maybe it forces them to have to hit pause in their space station for a minute and at least come up with a better system than like launch it, drop off your payload to space system, and then just whatever the rocket does from there is on the rocket.
Yeah. There has to be some kind of, there has to be rules to this, just because, I mean, since the 60s, we've been shooting rockets up and they just detach and let shit fall to the ground. There has to have been some kind of like plan for all these things to when they land, where they can land. I would really have to think that there is some kind of verbiage that protects hopefully property and people from falling space debris.
Unknown at this time.
Wouldn't be surprised if there's not, though. I really would not. It really would not shock me at all.
All right.
I have some personal space news.
Ooh.
I was able to secure those Neil deGrasse Tyson tickets we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I paid an absurd amount of money for the meet and greet VIP section. I will be sitting front row in front of Neil and have a private like picture taking meet and greet during that thing. So I will be wearing a fresh Nerd Cantina shirt and I will pester this kind man for a question that we all want to know on this podcast. I'm highly excited. It's not till September, so it's going to be a while. You know, I'm hoping that I don't have a picture with Neil deGrasse Tyson where we're both wearing masks, because then I just wasted a shit ton of fucking money. that is not the picture I am paying for, you know, but I am really excited. It's going to be a good time. Anybody in the Chicago area, I hope you guys think about getting tickets. We can make, you know, we can do a little nerd cantina meet up before the show. And it's going to be interesting. I'm really going to try to, if the meet and greet's before the show, I'm asking him my question while he's taking my picture and hopefully, and hopefully planting that seed in his brain. I'm going to inception his ass so that when he gives his speech, maybe he talks a little bit about it. You know, if not, I am going to be like, I'm front row. Like, try to ignore me, Neil. Like, I dare you. I'm coming for you.
All right. Well, look forward to that. Maybe people can join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community to hear and see your pictures as your post knows as they happen. And maybe we'll collect some question ideas or some other things in case you
You got a question you want to ask? Early. You better buy your own fucking ticket because I already got mine chambered. It's already fucking chambered.
Maybe you inception it. Maybe he addresses it anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping, I'm really, you know, he's gonna line up for that picture and be like, "Hey Neil, what do you think about blah blah blah?" And I'm just gonna smile. What do you think about privatization of space? I can't wait. It's gonna be a good time.
All right. Well, that's all it said. That's week in news. Let's end this with the normal reminders. Hey, just like, subscribe, do things. Maybe I got to buy a new microphone. I could use the help.
Yep.
Let's see what, as I work through my technical issues for next week.
True that.
But thanks again for listening. We appreciate all the time with us, and share it with somebody who might enjoy it as well. And that's the big ask. But with all that said, talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.